we're going to be in the book probably for the rest of the year, for the end of this semester. And what I'll do into next semester, there's going to be one other book, and I'll bring it and show it to you. It's going to be a book on loyalty. We're going to be talking about how loyalty is connected to honor. Those people who walk in honor are going to be loyal to their men and their women of God. And it's so very important that you're loyal. And it means that you can be dependent upon, that, you know, your word is your bond, you know, just being loyal, you know, trustworthy. You know, so that's all a part of honor. That's all a part of honor. Amen. We got probably a little under a minute left. We'll be starting here shortly. I notice you probably, I'm really a stickler for starting on time and ending on time. And that's just all about honor. You know, that's something I've watched my apostle do when he ministered for Kenan Hagin and other people. He put a little timer there. And when the buzzer went off, it was time to shut up. You know, he started on time and he ended. Now, if he was given additional time, you know, he got liberty. Amen. All right, well, it's time to start. We're going to go ahead and pray and get right into the word. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I thank you, Lord God, for every student that's here. And I'm trusting, Lord, that they're receiving everything that you would have for them to receive out of this class, out of this school, Lord God. We thank you for the apostle. We thank you for the anointing that's on his life. And we thank you right now that we're receiving impartation, revelation, and that we will, Lord God, receive the mantle that's on our apostles' lives, Lord God, that we can go out, Lord God, and do exploits for the kingdom of God. Father, I just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, this is, I think, is probably class number 7. We're going to be talking about the 6 levels of honor, and we're going to look at the hierarchy of each and how that's so very important that we know how to, number one, honor God, you know, how to honor life sources. And I'm going to just start with this, honoring life sources. And we stated in some previous classes that a life source is a giver or nurturer of life. A life source, we said that all life comes from God. And anybody who gives life, who nurtures life, is a life source. And the author says the first way to overcome the spirit of dishonor is to, number one, sow a seed of honor. The first way to overcome the spirit of honor is to sow a seed of honor. You know, when a person finds themselves in dishonor, they need to go to their man or their woman of God and say, you know, I've been either disobedient or I haven't been you know, about my father's business as I should. I haven't been following you like I should. And to show, you know, the fact that I'm getting it right, I'm sowing this seed of honor into your life. So the first way to overcome the spirit of dishonor is to sow a seed of honor. It will reverse dishonor every time when you sow a seed of honor. Open your Bibles with me. Let's go to Romans chapter 13, chapter, right quick. Romans the 13th chapter. In Romans 13 chapter, we know it starts off in verse 1. It says that every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So God is the author of all power and all authority. But I want to get down to verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their dues or what is owed them. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law of God. So it says here to render to all their dues. And that's so very important that we render to all what is owed them. We must render or we must show respect and honor. In the military, as I stated before, you honor the ranks. You honor the position, the title, the rankings of people who are in position. You know, so you want to render to all, and in the spiritual world, even more so, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. You want to render to all their dues, their what's owed them, the respect and the honor. And that's so very important. We owe them respect. We owe them honor. If you want the blessing that's on their lives, you have to show honor. In order to receive honor, you first must show honor. You first must display it. Amen. That's so very important. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. It says in 1 Timothy 5:17-18 in Amplified Bible, let the elders who perform their duties or office well be considered doubly worthy of honor and adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that threshed out the corn. And again, the laborer is worthy of his hire. In other words, if a man of God or a woman of God is putting out the word, well, they're worthy of their hire. They're worthy of honor. You know, the hire is the reciprocation that we sow into them, the honor that we sow into them. They're sowing unto us spiritual things. And we're sowing unto them our carnal things, or our you know, sowing seeds of honor, finances. And that's so very important. That's a principle. It says, let's give you an illustration going back to that verse of scripture. Just like, you know, in the olden days when they used mules and oxen and horses to plow the field, they made sure that whatever they were using to plow that field, whether it was an ox or mule, that particular animal got fed, got watered, got rested, because that helped them to maintain their livelihood. Well, a man of God, when they're sowing into our lives spiritually, well, then we need to reciprocate back to them by sowing unto them so that they can be freed up to do what God has called them to do. And that's so very important. It says in Malachi 1 and 6. And I'm going to read from the Message Bible. It says, it is true that a son honored his father and a worker his master. So if your father... if I'm your father, where is my honor? The scripture says, if I'm your master, where is my respect? The God of the angel armies is calling you on the carpet. Your priests despise me. You say, how have we despised you? With your snooty, sloppy, defiling worship. When you... Sowing seeds of honor is actually a form of worship. When you worship God in praise and worship, but when you sow, that's also honoring God. You honor, because when you honor the man of God, you're literally honoring God, because you're honoring what the authority and the government that God has set up. So it says here, your suities, sloppy, defiling worship, he asks. What do you mean defile? How have we defiled you? By not honoring properly. You must understand the importance of giving honor to whom honor is due. You must honor the anointing that's in the land. There have been times when people didn't honor an anointing that was in the land, and God actually, because of their disrespect and their dishonor and not recognizing and allowing the gift that was in their midst, in their communities, in their cities, in their states, by not honoring that particular man or woman of God, God will actually have removed people and place them somewhere where they're going to receive proper honor. Because a gift, an anointing, a mantle that God's placed upon a man or a woman is given to a region or an area or a community to meet the needs of those people in that area. You know, Apostle Thompson, God gave us this gift and the anointing that's on his life so that the financial burdens in this area can be removed so that healing and walking in divine help can manifest in our lives. And we need to take full advantage by honoring the gift that God has placed in our lives. And that's so very important. As I stated several times before, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There is no greater seed than the seed of honor. Sowing up so that the blessing can come down. It is required by God that we honor every life source. The word says, give honor to whom honor is due, especially meaning that we're to honor life sources. Giving honor to whom honor is due, render to all their dues or their respect. Anytime people dishonor a life source, it unleashes, this is what the author says, it unleashes demonic attack, generational curses, poverty, and all kinds of barrenness and famine in that land. When dishonor is displayed and people are not honoring properly, it opens the door for demonic attack. It opens the door for all kinds of famine and barrenness, generational curses to take place. All life comes from God, the author says, you know. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source that is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. It violates, you know, God, when it says God's sovereign existence, you know, God is a God of order. And I've said that several times before. And he expects order to be set up in his kingdom. We're privileged to be a part of God's kingdom being established and reestablished according to divine order by, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God is setting up his kingdom and he's aligning churches, pastors, you know, fathers are stepping up to the plate to be fathers, spiritual fathers, and sons are submitting. Pastors are submitting to their spiritual fathers, and their church members are submitting. You know, I mean, think about what we've been witnessing and have been privileged to be a part of. You know, an apostle and hundreds of churches all over the United States who have sons who submitted to the mantle that's on his life, to the apostolic order of God. And so now the same anointing that's on him is flowing through those pastors. And it's flowing from those pastors to their members, to their leadership, to the congregation. And so there's no member or no person lacking. You know, everybody is flowing in one vein, in one accord. And that's God's purpose for the church. And we're privileged as men and women of God in this dispensation to see. And you see, what happens now is when somebody has a need, that anointing is there to meet that need. You know, because what? There's no dishonor. There's no rebellion. There's no, you know, everybody's flowing in the same vein. And so now manifestations take place. Healings take place. Financial deliverance take place. Why? You begin to see the apostolic. And that's what the apostolic is designed to do. It is designed to cause you to prosper in every area of your life. And so when you honor that, you cannot help but be blessed. Amen? All right, let's get into now those six levels of honor. The first level in your book, it talks about honoring God. And that's numero uno. We first must honor God, you know, because he is the principal life source. I was talking with my wife a little while ago, and there's a term in industrial circles called once an engineer gets up to a certain level of their expertise, they get the title of a principal engineer, which means the highest degree. You've went through all the testing and you've proven your ability as an engineer, so you're called a principal engineer. Well, God, he's the principal life source. You know, all life comes from God. And so we must first of all, foremost, honor God. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase, so that thy barns may be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. So we're to honor God with the first fruits of our increase, our tithes and our offering. You know, there's no way you can be blessed without, because what the tithe does, I like the way one man of God puts it. The tithe is really the covenant connector. It connects you to the blessings of God. You know, because when you refuse to tithe, what you're doing now, you're actually placing yourself under a curse. According to Malachi, it says, you're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, but when you first honor God by giving to God what's his, the tenth, you know, you've established the fact now that you're opening up the door for God now to meet all of your needs and to bless you in ways that you can't even fathom. But that tithe, that 10% of honoring and sowing honor to God is going to be the covenant connector that's going to connect you so that now your barns could be filled with plenty. Your bank accounts, you know, if you have mutual funds or investments, all of those things are going to prosper. Why? Because you're honoring God with the first fruits of your increase. You know, every time you get a raise on your job, you should take that raise and that difference between the last paycheck and the first paycheck. And if that's $100 more, you know, that's a first fruit, because that's a first seed that came up that didn't come up before. You know, you want to sow that. Because what that does now, that opens the door now for God to bless you even more, you know. And these just ways of honoring God. Something else the author talks about in the area of honoring God, and this is as ministers and men and women who are called to the fivefold ministry gifts, you know, our moral conduct has to be upright. You know, when you honor God, you want to live right before men, before God. And that's so very important. He says it's very dangerous for individuals people who should know better to have inappropriate relationships. He goes on to talk about inappropriate conduct, you know, in the area of sexual relationships, in the area of doing things that's unbecoming of men and women of God. You dishonor God. Because God has blessed us, and we'll get into this react when we get into the sixth level, the last one. But you want to honor God because God has put you in this position. He's blessed you, and as you now begin to use your gift and your talent to be a blessing to others, you need to be an example of a man and a woman walking in faith, walking in integrity, uprightness, soundness. And there should be no inappropriate behaviors. There should be no, I'm gonna just read it the way the author has it here. He says, there should be no sexual affairs among the fivefold ministry gifts. There should be no definitely not no homosexual affairs. There should be no wife swapping, no blatant sex sin, no inappropriate conduct. For those in ministry, anytime you have this level of dishonor, there is a harvest of catastrophe that is reaped. Because this is, he said, this is total dishonor to God. Because what it is you know, though to whom much is given, much is required. And so when God has placed you in a position and put you where you're now speaking into people's lives, you have to walk, you know, doubly. One of the things I've learned to do is I don't even like traveling, going to, especially in years gone by, if I was going to a particular meeting, I always would like my wife to travel with me. You know, if at all possible. It's just something I have learned to do, you know. And thank God now in LTMA churches, it's really not an issue, you know. But I can remember back in the day, I would go to other churches. I'm not going to mention no names or no ministries, but I'm following the apostle. And there's just all kinds of temptation out there, all kinds of things. I remember this one church I went into. I walked in the door, and there was two ladies who were ushers or greeters at the door. And they greeted me, and I walked in, and I heard one of them say to us, "I didn't see a ring on his finger. Ooh-wee." And I turned back, and I looked, and I said, "Lord Jesus, I'm here to worship you." You know, that should not be, you know. And you see, one of the things that we've learned under apostolic authority, the apostle don't put up with that kind of foolishness, you know. And you see, that's what apostolic authority does. You see, even if I'm... I remember this one phrase that Flip Wilson used to use, in the boot, in the back, in the corner, in the dark. I'm still fearful of God. You know, I'm still fearful of the fact I know that my apostle said, if you mess up, son, I'm breaking both of your legs. You know, but you want to honor God, you know, but you have God's representative. But at the same time, you know, as the author said, you know, when you dishonor God and at that capacity, you know, it's catastrophic, you know, a catastrophic dishonor is going to be reaped upon your head. Satan will try to do anything he can to discredit you and discredit your ministry. With the opposite sex, one of the things I've learned when you're tempted or when temptation or those tests come, most of the time they're really not after you. They're after the anointing that's on your life. You know, they want to bring down the kingdom of God. And they have no respect for God, no respect for you. But it's a lot of times it's not even about you. You know, there are people who come with a Jezebel spirit, and their intention is they like to target people who are in authority. If they can't get to the pastor, they'll get to the next person in line because they want to exercise their control and their influence. You know, and that's what that spirit will do. Amen. You know, but, you know, when you honor God, you put him first. You know, you put him first. Now, I'll leave that alone. Let's move on. Number two, the second level of honor is honoring the apostle and the prophet, the apostolic gift. You know, you want to honor the apostle and prophet, those prophetic offices, the apostolic gift. In Matthew 13 and verse 57, and we've read that before, it talks about, and they were offended at him, or Jesus. And Jesus said that a prophet can do no mighty works, you know, in his own country, you know, or in his own house. Why? Because they were offended. It's so very important that when you honor the prophetic, you don't allow your man or your woman God to become too familiar with you, to where you're not hearing what they're saying. The worst area, the worst form of dishonor in that area is you're in the services day after day, you know, Sunday and Wednesday and whenever you're there, but you're not practicing the principles and the word. You're not being obedient to what's being stated. You know, because Bible says that, you know, in those his hometown, he could do no mighty works, save just a few small, you know, lay hands on a few people who were sick and had minor ailments. Why? Because of their soul unbelief or their dishonor towards him. But, you know, when you honor somebody, you're going to do what they tell you to do. You're going to walk in faith. You're going to do whatever it takes. When Jehoshaphat, well, we'll get to that. I don't want to jump the gun. But here's the principle. The reason many countries never get the benefit of the great gifts or the great anointings that God has placed in the region is because they don't honor the apostolic gift that God has placed in that region. You know, this area should be flourishing. It is, but even to a greater degree. manifestation should be manifesting itself in leaps and bounds. Why? Because God has given a prophetic financial anointing to this region, a prophetic anointing of health and healing to this region. You know, there should be no one in our churches walking sick, walking with financial difficulties, because the anointing is present. You know, the power of God is present to heal those areas in our lives. But it's up to us to begin to operate in the principles and walk in obedience and start to begin to see the manifest. And I know they're happening, you know, but we should be seeing them on a greater level. And you see, one of the things I'm learning is that it's very important for us to begin to share when God has blessed us because of the apostolic. You know, open our mouths and let people know, look what the Lord has done. You know, the Bible says that we overcome the enemy, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. And that's so very important that we share the goodness of what God has done. Every gift is given to a region to match the needs of that region. Now, Apostle Thompson was given to this region to set the body of Christ free of financial bondage. When you receive him as a gift and honor him as a gift and obey him, you know, that financial anointing and that health and healing anointing will come upon your life and produce the effects that needs to be done. Amen. And that's so very important. If a country or government does not honor the spiritual leaders in that country, the author says that country cannot be blessed. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, and I think it's 26 and 2, the B part, it says that the curse causeless shall not come. There's always a reason why the curse comes. And when you disobey and you go your own way, you open yourself up for not the blessing, but the curse. And what we're doing through these classes and through this ministry is to ensure that people walk in the greater blessing of God. Amen? The apostle and prophets in an area have a lot to do with the spiritual conditions, the atmosphere, and the spiritual climate in that region. Because an apostolic anointing or an anointing that's in an apostolic area, it has a governmental territorial reaching where it you know, the climate and the atmosphere changes because of the apostolic. Because principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness has to flee, because when a decree is given by apostolic authority, and because of that heaven and earth connection, demonic forces must flee. You know, bondage must go. Financial hardship must leave. Health and healing must come speedily. You know, because those apostolic words have been spoken out, and when you honor those that God has set in place, that word, that those decrees become manifestations in your life, become a display of God's goodness. I know there are people in here who become a display of God's goodness because of apostolic, you know, decrees, because of the generational anointing that's in this area. And that's so very important. Amen. All right. Let's go to number three. The third area of our level of honor is honoring fathers. And with that, we're talking about spiritual fathers, you know, honoring the fathers that's in a region. In the book of Malachi 1 and 6, it says, "A son honored his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear or my reverence? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" Corporately, it's important that we honor spiritual fathers. We need to know in the region who God has placed in the region to be a father, and to honor them. Those are fathers that are in the region. But one of the things the author said, and we see it changing in our area. For years, they might have been people who God had called to be fathers who didn't step up to the plate to be fathers. And then you had those who wanted to be fathers but didn't have God's mantle to be a spiritual father. And so they just wanted sons. And then that created a mess. But now God is raising up fathers, spiritual fathers, after his own heart. Men of God that God has placed his hand upon. And he's now causing sons and daughters to manifest themselves and to attach themselves to their God-ordained spiritual fathers, you know, so that they can be fed. You know, one of the things you don't want to be in ministry is you don't want to be a bastard, fatherless. The word bastard only means that you don't have a father. You need someone to speak into your life. You need someone to correct you. You need someone to give you the guidance and the direction that you need. You know, I never forget something Dr. Forbes said, you know. He said, the apostle don't mind you being led by the Spirit, but he just don't want you to be led by yourself. You know, you always want to have a confirmation, especially when you're taking a big step. You know, you go to your pastor or your apostle and say, I think the Lord is leading me in this direction. And if God is truly speaking to you, you got to believe and have faith in the fact that God will speak the same thing to your man of God. And if your man of God says, I'm not getting that, you know, well, then you need to go sit back down and just wait. You know, too many people want to jump up and do something because I didn't hear from God, you know. They might have had a dream about something and they think God is speaking to them, you know. And one of the things I've learned is that when somebody says, well, the Lord done told me something, you know, they get so convinced and you can't convince them out of it, you know. But it's just like, you know, back when we were growing up as kids. You know, we could have all kind of ambitions and ideas, but if mama, especially daddy, say no, you need to go sit back down. You know, I would like to do this, but no, son. You know, I remember one time I'd wanted a particular bike, and I told my dad, we went to the store and I saw the bike. I said, I want this one. It was a racing bike. Everybody was buying them. He said, I don't know about that. He said I like this one over here. It was a big old heavy duty cruiser, beach cruiser, you know. I said, I don't like that one, you know. I said, well, Dad, that's okay. I'm worried about it. I don't even want a bike. He said, okay, well, we went back to the house. 2 or 3 days later, he ended up calling me in the kitchen. He says, I just want you to know, I bought me a bike. And you're willing to use, you can use it anytime you get ready. I said, I bet you he went ahead and bought that old beach cruiser, you know. And sure enough, that's what it was, you know. But my point is, the lesson I learned from that was, you know, receive what I'm giving you. Right. You know, and it was a humbling thing for me, but I mean now, I mean, I've gotten blessed with bikes. I enjoy a bike ride. This past Saturday I went on a trace in St. Tammany and rode 30 miles on a bike that was given to me. You know, but it's so very important to get the direction from your father. That's the point I want to bring out. It's so very important to get the direction, you know. I don't go out and minister anywhere for anybody under any condition without getting my spiritual father's blessing. And sometimes I may get a word to him and says, you know, someone, I remember I had a cousin who's a minister, who's a Methodist minister somewhere in the Harvey area. And she wanted me to come preach a celebration day at their church. And I got word to the apostle. I waited, didn't get a word back. I waited, didn't get a word back. And after about a week and a half, I realized the word that I was getting was no, you know. So I called her back, and then I got to thinking about it. I said, you know, I'm here on Sundays, I'm here on Mondays, I'm here on Tuesdays, I'm here on Wednesdays. I said, I really don't have time. You know, I'm about my father's business, you know. And so so it got to the point where I've learned, even when somebody asks me to do something, if I know it's not under the apostolic already, and if it's, you know, it's in some other area, I don't even bother with it. You know, I said, you know, I appreciate it, you know, but, you know, God's called me to this ministry. You know, my job is to undergird my apostle and to do whatever I've been assigned to do. And when you start doing that, whatever gift, whatever talent that you have, you know, you really don't have time for a whole lot of other stuff. I don't sit down and listen to every other minister on TV. I don't do that anymore. You know, because when you do that, you can't hear from your man of God clearly, because there are many voices out there. There's everybody saying something, you know, and I'm not saying what they're saying is good or bad, but when God has assigned you to a particular ministry, to a particular anointing, you need to stick with what God has told you to do and who God has told you to submit to, because that's the only way you're going to, and see, that's honor. That's honor. I mean, what I just stated was honor. You know, the worst thing you can do is to start sampling other camps. You know, I'm going to go here and go there, you know, because you're just mangling, you know, your seed. You're getting yourself more confused, because one minister may say something and not everybody have the same degree of revelation. Not that, you know, what they're saying is not good or bad, but some people, because of their years, because of their anointing, God has they're advanced, and they know things, and they you know, I like to use the expression, you know, like an air traffic controller. You know, they have instruments and radars in that tower where they can see for hundreds, maybe thousands of miles. They can see storms that the pilot can't see. You know, so he's depending on them to tell him what altitude to fly at, you know, what speed, you know, what runway to take, you know. So, you know, the storm could be raging and you can't see, you know, 30 feet in front of you in that airplane, but you're depending on that air traffic controller to give you precise, direct instructions. See, we're depending on our man of God, our pastors, through apostolic authority to give us precise, direct and pertinent, you know, information so that we'll know how to go and will steer us out of all the traffic, as the apostles say. You know, there's a lot of traffic out there, and we need to know how to go and stay on the course that God has appointed for us to have. Amen. All right, let me move on. Whenever you have fathers. Now, this is something the author says here, and I thought it was a good point. Whenever you have fathers that have uncovered themselves or fallen into sin, and the son speaks badly about the uncovering of their father, they open the door to the curse that their father has initiated to come upon them. The dishonor, the curse, and the sin or the iniquity will come upon the son, because the son didn't know how to properly, I'm going to give you an illustration about that, how to properly cover the nakedness of their father. Going back to Noah had three sons. Two of the sons, well, one son saw the nakedness of their father, and he went back and he told the other two, you know, daddy got drunk and he's in the bed naked, you know, and said it in a kind of a facetious, prideful, you know, lackadaisical type of way. And the other two sons, instead of, you know, going in and peeping and whatever, they came with a sheet or a cloth, and they backed up. Both of them had the cloth, and they covered the nakedness or the sin of their fathers. And you see, when you, and I understand, and I'm give you some examples of this. This never will happen in this ministry. I know that, and it's just not going to happen. But I wanted to bring that out, because you walk in dishonor when instead of staying with your man of God, helping to restore, helping to rebuild, or whatever it is, a lot of times people will get up and they'll leave. You know, I had a friend of mine years ago, was part of a ministry. The pastor there, and he was assistant pastor, so he was like the father and the son. He was, you know, being mentored by his pastor. This was some 25 years or so ago. Well, the pastor fell into sin, okay, sex sin, and the congregation was split, and a lot of people wanted to side with the associate, with the assistant pastor, And so he just ended up leaving the church, starting his own church, just getting away from the situation. Instead of staying there to help cover and restore, he said, "Well, I'm out of here." And I in my heart, I don't know all the situation, the whole ramification of it, but years later, the same situation that happened to his father, taking in young college kids who got saved, who parents might have kicked them out of the house, and letting them, "Well, you can stay with my wife and I." A minister don't need nobody in his house but his wife and his family, but they're allowing other young ladies to come in. Well, my friend did the same thing years later. And I remember we going and we saw what was happening, and we warned him about it. Said, "Man, this don't need to be happening. Get them out your house. You're a minister. You got integrity. You got to uphold moral uprightness." Well, he did, and the enemy, being busy with trickery, he ended up losing his wife. Ministry went shambles, left and moved out somewhere. I've seen that happen more than once. But the point I want to bring out here is that if you're a son and there is some situation, you want to stick it out and restore, because if not, the same dishonor that fell on the father will also roll over on the son. Let me move on from there. Number four, the fourth level of showing honor is honor your parents. Honoring your parents, that's our natural parents. The scripture says in Exodus 20 and 12, "Honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That's Exodus 20 and 12. Honoring your parents. When I was looking over this morning, my heart kind of got stirred. And, so I hadn't talked to my mother in about a week and a half. So I stopped, picked up the phone, started talking to my mom, and she started telling me about things that's been going on in her community and with family and friends, I just said, "Well, it's been a couple of weeks since I seen you." I said, "Well, I'll make it down this Saturday. I'll make a point, of making it down, spending the time with you, honoring you. Take her out to dinner, whatever she needs to do around the house. Just being there, just supportive, because when you honor their years, their survival skills." My mom's 83 years old, been living by herself about the last 17 years after my dad went home to be with the Lord, But when you honor them, you're honoring their life and their survival skills and whatever God has graced them with. But when you dishonor them, And not show them the respect that they deserve as being your, even the Bible, the author says, even if they may not have been the best parents, but if you want to live long on the earth and for whatever blessing they have to roll over on you, it's important that we honor our parents. Ephesians 6 and 2 says, "Honor thy mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise." Deuteronomy 5 and 16 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee." That's a commandment, that thy days may be prolonged. In other words, that you might live long upon the earth and that it might be well with thee, and that's so very important. One thing about the Bible, in the area of honor, it starts off honoring God, then honoring the apostolic, honoring fathers, honoring pastors, honoring your natural parents. In every level or area of life, we're to display honor. Honor your employers, those people you work for, by giving giving honor to whom honor is due, respect to whom respect is due. Because God is a God of honor, and he's a God of order. And when you follow God's divine order and the divine plan for our lives, we cannot help but be blessed. Amen? You can't help but be blessed. It's a winning formula. Number five, the fifth level of showing honor is honoring older people or our seniors. Leviticus 19 and 32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary headed or the white headed man and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, for I am God." I'm going to read that again. Leviticus 19 and 32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head or the white headed man. Honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, for I am the Lord." When an elderly person or an older gentleman or lady comes in a building, out of respect and honor, we should stand and either assist them or just, "How you doing, ma'am?" You know, I've learned that from as a kid, you know, not to disrespect my elders, you know, because there's something that you get from them that you won't get no place else. You know, and getting back to what I was saying, even by with your parents, you know, you're honoring their years, their survival. Same with the elderly. You know, I remember there was an elder gentleman in prison ministry with us years back, and sometimes he would come up to me by my seat, and when he would come, I'd stand and I would shake his hand. He said, "Oh, you don't have to stand up." I said, "No, I have to stand up." You know, because you know. I'm honoring. I'm not telling this, but I'm honoring you because of your years. You know, here you are. You're an example to me. You know, an example. And that's so very important because when you dishonor them, when you show disrespect to them, basically what was happening now is, you know, he says here, if they have gone through these years and all the battles and struggles that life presents to that individual, when they walk in the room and you stand up and acknowledge them, you are honoring their survival skills, their ability to impact knowledge to you. When you stand and honor the seniors and in that regard, you are literally saying, "God, you have honored and you brought this person here, you know, and all of their life experiences, you know, that they have experienced, you know, I don't have to go through the same pitfalls." You know, whenever my grandmother or a relative would sit down and talk to me, you know, I was all ears, because something they're going to say can keep me from making a wrong turn, from, you know, from doing something and going astray, and can save me time and energy in my life, you know, where I don't have to overly exert myself. So very important. So very important. All right. I got a few more minutes. Number six here. The sixth level of honor is honoring the gift and the anointing in you. Psalms 8, 4 and 6 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor." That's talking about us, man. You know, "thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hand and hast put all things under his feet." You need to honor the gift, the life that God has given you. Anytime a person dishonors themselves, the author says that they're living with beastly instincts. You know, they're being driven by their flesh and not their spirit, because God is a spirit and God wants us to be led by our spirit. But when you dishonor the very life that God has given you, the very anointing that God has given you, you're literally walking around just, and that's why the prisons are full of people. That's why people commit hideous crimes and do all kinds of ungodliness, because they're not honoring the life and the God-given talents and ability that God has given them. That's a total disrespect for God. In other words, there's a God factor in man. So you have to honor that anointing that, you know, because God has blessed us all with gifts, talents, and abilities. And it's for us to use those gifts, those talents, and ability to honor God with. A person who has been anointed with honor and doesn't understand he has been crowned with honor. The author says that person functions with beastly instincts, you know, and I stated earlier, that's the reason why there's so much drug addiction. That's the reason why there's so much misconduct, prostitution, pornography, because people are not honoring the very life and the very ability that God has given them. And that's just a deception of the devil, you know, but we're to honor God with our very lives, you know. God has a plan and a destiny for each and every one of us. And we honor God when we begin to function and flow and operate in those God-given destinies and abilities. I was reading a prison ministry report from last Sunday, yesterday, where I think 54 people or so was in attendance. Five people rededicated their lives, and one person got filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm saying it because one of my prison ministers in, and he was at the meeting. It blessed me because, you know, when people begin to function in their God-given ordained destinies, they're now making impacts on other people's lives. You know, they're making progress for the kingdom. You know, and for some people, it may be you might be blessed with a singing voice, or you may be blessed with various other talents and abilities, whatever that is, instruments. You can play different instruments, but you want to give that talent and that ability to God because he's given it to you. And that's how you honor the anointing or honor the gift that God has given you. You know, and in everything we do, we want to honor God, you know, because when you honor your man of God, you're honoring God. When you honor your parents and fathers, you're honoring God. You know, it's all about giving honor to whom honor is due. And when that happens, you cannot help but be honored yourself, because when you sow a seed of honor, you will reap the seeds of honor. Amen. All right. See you guys the next time. And definitely next week, Prosperity Revival. Amen. Amen.